Yearly Bible Reading Comment for day number 193 for July the 12th, Psalm 144:15 through Proverbs 1:4. Psalm 145 is David's Psalm of Praise. I count 24 different attributes of the Lord in this psalm. Verse 1, I will extol thee, my God, my King. Every day will I bless thee. Notice in verse 3, great is the Lord. His greatness, many times repeated. Greatly to be praised. He's praiseworthy in verse 3. And verse 5, he has his majesty. First of all, glorious honor. I will speak of thy glorious honor. The fourth, thy majesty over thy wondrous works. And then verse 7 has the fifth one. Thy great goodness, his goodness, and I will sing of thy righteousness. There are attributes 5 and 6. Number 7, the Lord is gracious. We've already had that, I believe. Gracious, no, that's the new one. Full of compassion in verse 8 also. Slow to anger, of great mercy. These are the 9 so far. The 10th one, they shall speak of thy glory, the glory of thy kingdom, of thy power. So glorious and powerful. And then the 12th one, in verse 13, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, is everlasting eternality. Verse 14, the Lord upholdeth all that fall. He's an upholder, and he raiseth up all that be bowed down. He's a raiser up of those who are bowed. And then the 15th attribute, thou givest them their meat. He is a giver, a donor. Verse 16, thou openest thine hand and satisfy. He opens his hand, he satisfies those of his children. And then verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. We've had that before, but he's also holy in all his works, verse 17. Holiness of God. Verse 19, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, the nearness of God. Then in verse 19, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He keeps his word. He is a fulfiller of what he promises. And he will hear their cry, verse 19. And he gave them and saved them, rather. And so he's a hearer of prayer, believing prayer. Then the 23rd attribute, he is a preserver. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, and all the wicked will he destroy. And he's a destroyer, the 24th attribute, a destroyer of the wicked. And so we ought to bless his holy name, verse 21, forever and ever. These are some of the many attributes, some 24 different characteristics, you might say, of the Lord God of heaven and earth, whom we serve if we're trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And now Psalm 146, verse 1 begins with praise. Praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto the God, unto my God, while I have my being, verse 2. Notice verse 3 now. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Man and all kinds of men will let us down, but not the Lord. Notice verse 4, the characteristic. It talks about clinical death, I believe. His breath goeth forth, and he returneth to his earth. In other words, he dies. This is respiratory death, as it were, when the breath stops. And then the breathing stops. And then, of course, when the heart stops, that's also a form of death. But the newest definition is when brain death occurs, and this is mentioned right here in verse 4, I believe. His breath goeth forth, and he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. His thoughts, the brain waves stop. And this is what they call brain death. And this is the characteristic that many states have voted in, because now we have machines that will keep the heart going, keep the circulation going, the respiration going, as it were, circulation of the blood in the heart. But when the brain waves stop, that is clinical death. And very important that God knew all about this and wrote of it in Psalm 146, verse 4. Then verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, the one who made heaven and earth. God is our creator in verse 6. And he keeps truth, and he executes judgment for the oppressed in verse 7. He gives food to the hungry. He looses the prisoners. He wants to loose the communist prisoners as well as the prisoners of sin. He opens the eyes of the blind in verse 8. Raises them that are bowed down. Preserves the strangers in verse 9. And he shall reign forever. One day the Lord Jesus will return for his millennial reign, and then the Lord will reign forever and ever. And in a sense, he's reigning now, but not in exactly the same sense of the millennial age of glory, but only over those who trust him as his son, as their Savior. Now, Psalm 147. In verse 1 again, we're told to praise the Lord and sing praises to Him. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. Notice in verse 3, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He can take care of us individually, little people like we are, broken in heart many times because of sin, because of sadness and sorrow. But also, verse 4, He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Way out in the distance, far away, both near and both far, God is able in these areas. Who can count the stars? We don't even know the number, but God does. He knows them. Verse 5, great is our Lord, and of great power. That's His omnipotence. His understanding is infinite. That's His omniscience. All-knowing, infinite understanding and greatness of power. He lifts up the meek. He casts the wicked down. Verse 6, sing unto Him. He covers the heavens with clouds. In verse 8, He prepares the rain. He makes the grass grow. He gives the beast his food, even the young ravens, who cry. These ravens who feast upon decaying and dead flesh, God provides for their food. He delights not in the strength of the horse, or takes pleasure in the legs of a man, the power and the strength of man, or the horses, but He takes pleasure in them that fear Him. Verse 11. That's important. He sends forth His commandment. Verse 15, His word runneth very swiftly. God's word is a swift runner. And we praise the Lord for the effectiveness of the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And he says in verse 20, He showed His word, verse 19, unto Jacob, His statutes, unto Israel, and His judgments. He hath not so dealt with any nation. And this is certainly true. Israel was a special nation unto Himself. Now Psalm 148. This is a psalm of praise. It begins, praise the Lord. The heavens are the praise Him, the heights. In verse 2, His angels and His hosts. Verse 3, His sun and moon and stars are to praise the Lord. The heavens of heavens, in verse 4, He waters above the heavens. For He commanded and they were created. In verse 5, praise the Lord, all the deeps. In verse 7, and the snow and fire and hail and vapors and even stormy wind in verse 8. They all fulfill His word, even these twisters and the winds that sometimes kill off people, like just the other day in our area here as this tape is being made. Mountains and hills and fruitful trees and cedars and beasts and cattle and creeping things and flying fowls and the kings of the earth in verse 11, all of them, the princes and the judges, should praise the Lord. He is worthy of praise. Notice verse 12, the age groups, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. We have no youth gap or young people's gap or age gap. We ought to, both young and old, praise the Lord and learn to love His word as well. Now Psalm 149. Verse 1 again says, we're to praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, the command. Sing unto Him. Let Israel rejoice in Him, in verse 2. And let them praise His name in the dance and sing with timbrel and harp, in verse 3, as they sing unto the Lord. Verse 4, for the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. Are you one of His people? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior and Redeemer? If you have, you are one of His people. And He takes pleasure in His people, and He's glad for those who love Him. Let the saints, verse 5, be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. And then the Old Testament saints also had to have in their hand not only praise to their God in their mouth, verse 6, but a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen. And God's earthly people Israel did this. They to bind their kings with chains, in verse 8, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all His saints. Yes, we will judge the earth, even the saints and the believers, in this dispensation as well. Now, the final psalm, Psalm 150. We close off the book of Psalms now with Psalm 150, the last psalm, only 6 verses, but every one of them with praise to the Lord. Verse 1, praise God in His sanctuary, and praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts, in verse 2, and for His exceeding greatness. And praise Him with the sound, notice the instruments of trumpet, in verse 3, and psaltery and harp. Verse 4, with the timbrel and dance, with stringed instruments and organs, with loud cymbals, in verse 5, with the high-sounding cymbals. The upshot of it is, the conclusion is, the summation is, in verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We ought to say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done. And this is our element of praise. Everyone who hath breath ought to do this. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 194 for July the 13th, Proverbs 1:5 through 3:34. And now we begin the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1. This was a book that's been written by Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, and God gave him that wisdom. Verse 1 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." The purpose of the book is given in verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, and to give subtlety to the simple. Verse 4, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. This is a young man's book to teach young men what they ought to know. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase understanding and learning, and a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels. Verse 5 says, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We've got to trust the Lord first, and then we'll get knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, verse 8, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Young people, children, ought to listen to mom and dad and obey them, as the scripture says, honor thy father and thy mother. This instruction of your father and mother, especially if they're based upon the word of God, will be like an ornament of grace. Just like an ornament of grace and chains about thy neck in verse 9. But verse 10, if sinners entice thee, my son, consent thou not. If they say, come and let's wait for blood and kill somebody in verse 11. Cast in thy lot among us in verse 14. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy path from their thy feet from their path. We ought to have our young men to stay away from evil people and from hoodlums and murderers. Their feet run to evil, verse 16. And verse 19, so are everyone are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. And then this is murder. The ones that have the gain, and they steal and they kill the ones after they've stolen the money. This is what it means, taking away the life of the owners of that gain. Verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice. Oh, how long, ye simple ones, we love simplicity. Verse 22. We've got to follow wisdom. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself is wisdom, and he is personified as wisdom. Turn ye at my reproof, verse 23. I have called, and ye have refused, in verse 24. Ye have set it not my counsel, in verse 25. Would none of my reproof, and therefore I will laugh at your calamity when it comes, in verse 26. Your fear, and they'll call upon me, that is wisdom, or the Lord Jesus, in verse 28, and I will not answer. They'll seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, verse 29. And they would none of my counsel, and they despise my reproof. Wisdom and the word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ give reproofs, and they'll eat of the fruit of their doings, and the prosperity of the fools shall destroy them, in verse 32. But whoso hearkeneth to me, that is unto wisdom, will dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. God will protect those of us who listen to his wisdom and to his word. And now, Proverbs chapter 2, continuing message to sons. In verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, in verse 2, apply thine heart to understanding, and criest after knowledge, in verse 3, seekest her as silver, and searchest as hid treasures, then, verse 5, shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The word of God is where we get wisdom and understanding, and we've got to love his word. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous, in verse 7. He keeps a path of judgment. He preserves the way of his saints, in verse 8. And thou shalt understand then righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, when wisdom enters into thine heart, verse 10, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul. And when this happens, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, in verse 11, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man that walketh and speaketh forward things and leaves a path of righteousness, in verse 13, to walk in darkness, who rejoices to do evil. God's word will guide us away from these evil men, whose ways are crooked and forward. And these wicked women, verse 16, deliver thee from the strange woman, the harlot, the prostitute, the streetwalker, to the stranger that flattereth with her lips and her words, who forsakes the guide of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, in verse 17. Her house inclines to death, verse 18, and nobody returns from her again to the paths of life. It's a terrible thing, this whole prostitution racket, and also the filthiness of fornication generally, even apart from a prostitution, as they practice it in these days in which we live. Terrible indeed, and vicious, and wicked, and our young people are being accosted by it, and influenced by it, and enticed into it, day by day, month by month, year by year, in an ever-increasing number of instances, which is a sad thing indeed. For the upright shall dwell in the land, verse 21. The wicked, though, shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors rooted out of it. And now, Proverbs chapter 3, continuing to sons. In verse 1, we're told, my son, forget not my law, the law of wisdom. Let thine heart keep my commandments, the law of God, the commandments of God. Verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall I add to thee. Let mercy and truth not forsake thee, and bind them upon thy neck. Write them on the table of thine heart. Verse 4, thou shalt find favor. Notice verse 5, one of the favorite ones from Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is God's promise. We've got to trust in him and follow his own ways, not ours. Be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord, and depart from evil, verse 7. Honor the Lord with thy substance, verse 9, with the first fruits of all thine increase. We've got to give him our funds, our money, and not only the tithe, the 10%, but as much as we can above the tithe, to love him and serve him with our funds. And then thy barn shall be filled with plenty, in verse 10. This is true of Israel, and it is true, I think, even of today. Thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Then verse 11, it talks of chastening. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Sometimes he corrects the children that he receives. Neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Verse 12. Hebrews 12 mentions the same thing. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. If a father doesn't delight in a son, he doesn't bother correcting him. If he hates his son, he'll just let him grow up like Topsy. But if he loves him, he'll correct him. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, verse 13, and understanding. The merchandise, verse 14, better than silver, better than gold, more precious than rubies, verse 15. Even length of days shall wisdom give. This is what Solomon asked for, and the Lord gave him wisdom. And riches are in their left hand, even, of those that have wisdom. And riches go along with wisdom. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, in verse 17. The paths of peace, a tree of life, that's what wisdom is. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, in verse 19. The Lord Jesus, I believe, here is personified as wisdom. He has made unto us wisdom, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, those of us who are saved and believers. Verse 21, my son, let them not depart from thine eyes, but keep sound wisdom and discretion. They shall be life to thy soul, verse 22. Thou shalt walk safely, thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid, in verse 24. And thy sleep shall be sweet. Isn't it wonderful that we can sleep and the sleep will be sweet when we love the Lord, when we're following his word, when we're walking in fellowship with him, nothing to fear. Be not afraid of sudden fear, verse 25. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, verse 26. He'll keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good now, verse 27, from whom to whom it is due. Them to whom it is due, it is one is in thy power to do so. We've got to give good when we have it to give. And then verse 28, say not to thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. If you owe your neighbor something, you said, oh, I'll give it to you tomorrow, but you have it right there. Don't do this. Pay him up. Give him what he should have, and do not lie or deceive. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, verse 29, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Then verse 30, strive not with a man without cause. Be sure there's a cause before striving and fighting and battling and warring. But when there's a cause, as David had a cause, he asked, is it not a cause? And there was a cause. Envy not the oppressor, verse 31. Don't choose any of his ways. The curse of the Lord, verse 33, is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the just. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 195 for July the 14th. Proverbs 3:35 through 6:34. And now, Proverbs chapter 4. In chapter 4, we continue to sons. Hear the children instruction of a father in verse 1. For I give you good doctrine in verse 2. Forsake not my law. And then Solomon says, I was my father's son in verse 3. He taught me. He said, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, verse 5. Get understanding. Forget it not. It'll preserve thee. Love her and she shall keep thee in verse 6. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee to honor, in verse 8. A grace upon your head will this wisdom be. In verse 10, hear, my son, my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Longer life if we follow the word of God and our Father's instruction in that word. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou runnest, verse 12, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Enter not into the path of the wicked, in verse 14. Here is separation from wicked men, evil men. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Verse 15, we've got to watch our company. We've got to be separated from those who are sinners and wicked and corrupt. They sleep not, verse 16 says, except they have done mischief. For they eat the bread of wickedness, verse 17, drink the wine of violence. Notice verse 18 by way of contrast. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And then verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They don't know what they stumble at. But verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Thine ear, verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Every member of the body should love the word of God. Do you love the word of God, my friend? I trust that you do. They are life unto those that find them. And then verse 22 says, and health to all their flesh. Health. They even help to have a healthy body if we keep the word of God. Keep thy heart, verse 23, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Verse 24, put thy froward mouth away from thee and perverse lips. Let thine eyes look right on, straight ahead, verse 25, and thine eyelids before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet as we walk. We've got to be careful where our feet go. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. And then verse 27 says, remove thy foot from evil. Separate from evil. We must be separatists in our personal lives, in our ecclesiastical lives, and in every other way, that we may not have our feet walking in evil paths. And now continued instruction to sons, Proverbs chapter 5. Again in verse 1, the son is instructed to attend and listen unto wisdom and to understanding. For the lips of a strange woman, verse 3, the harlot, the prostitute, drop as an honeycomb, her mouth smoother than oil, but her end, verse 4, bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. It's not all that it's cracked up to be. This wickedness, this filthiness with prostitutes and wicked women, her feet go down to death, verse 5 says, and her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou ponder the path of her life. Her ways are movable. You cannot depend upon them. Hear me, depart not from the words of my mouth, verse 7. Verse 8 pleads, remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh the door of her house. No prostitute, no wicked woman, no woman of the street, no woman not of the street that wants to be immoral and fornicate and commit sin or adultery after someone is married should come anywhere near the child of God, the man of God, the daughter of God. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, in verse 9. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, in verse 10. Thou mourn at the last, verse 11, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Venereal disease, apparently referred to here, at the end of the line of prostitution and willful sin. And I say, I've hated instruction, verse 12. My heart has despised reproof and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers. This is a sad thing. But verse 15 says, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad. And then verse 18, let thy wife, or rather thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. God's word teaches us that we're to stay with the wife of our youth, that we've picked out in our youth, no matter what our age is, and we're to continue to be married to that woman, and to rejoice with her continuously. Verse 19, let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. We are to be faithful and true to our wives that God has given to us. Verse 20, wilt thou be ravished with a strange woman? Why? Why embrace the bosom of a stranger? God forbid that we should be unfaithful to our wives in adultery in this way. Chapter 5 of Proverbs is a warning. For the eyes of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth all his goings. His iniquities shall take hold of the wicked himself. In verse 22, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Here we see sin is likened unto someone that is bound with cords and ropes and string and twine. The more we sin, the more we're bound. God deliver us from the sin of adultery and fornication, impurity, or any other sins, of smoking, of nicotine, of alcoholism, whatever it is, we'll be holden with these cords of our own sins. Now, Proverbs chapter 6, continued instruction to sons. Verse 1 begins the topic of suretyship, or being a sure for someone. If thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, draw near and deliver thyself. Verse 3. Make sure thy friend. Go humble thyself. Get out of it. Don't be surety. Don't hold the bag for someone. Don't sign a note, as it were, and be held up for that. Give not sleep to thine eyes, verse 4, but deliver thyself, verse 5, as a roe would from the hand of a hunter, or as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Don't sign for someone, especially when he's a stranger. Then, verse 6, diligence. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, thou lazy person. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. Oh, may we be like the ants, prudent and wise and provident and looking ahead and working and being diligent. Verse 9, how long wilt thou love sleep, O sluggard, O lazy man? A little sleep, a little slumber, verse 10, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come, as one that traveleth. A naughty person. This, in other words, if we're lazy, we're going to have poverty. We're going to fight poverty. We're going to work, as the sign says in many bumper stickers. I fight poverty. I work. A naughty person, verse 12, a wicked man deviseth mischief continually. Then, chapter 6, verse 15, his calamity will come suddenly as well. Then verse 16, these six things that the Lord hates, these seven are an abomination to him. Notice them in verse 17 through 19. A proud look, a lying tongue. God wants us to tell the truth. Hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to mischief. A sixth thing is a false witness that speaketh lies, verse 19, and he that soweth discord among brethren. These are the seven things God hates. Then verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment. Don't forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually, verse 21. Follow them if they're especially hooked up with the word of God and if they're God's commandments. For the commandment is a lamp, verse 23. And the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. God's word is like a lamp, like a light to lighten our path, to keep thee, verse 24, from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, these prostitutes and harlots and strange loose women. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, in verse 25. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids. We've got to watch our eyes on these who are foreign to the will of God for our lives. Verse 26, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will seek and hunt for the precious life. Notice verse 27. Can a man take fire into his bosom? His clothes not be burned? We're playing with fire when we're playing with this sin of fornication and adultery. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Verse 28. So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. We have got to stay away from the coals of adultery and fornication. Men do not despise a thief. Verse 30, if he steal to satisfy his hunger, he shall pay sevenfold. Verse 31, if they restore. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. But jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content. The man who has this wife is going to be after the man who commits adultery with her. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 196 for July 15th. Proverbs 6:35 through 10:3. And now, Proverbs chapter 7. Again, continued instruction to sons. Here is a very frank discussion of the terrible situation of the prostitution and the adultery and the fornication that goes on even in our world. My son, verse 1, keep my words, lay out my commandments, keep my commandments and live, verse 2. Verse 3, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. We've got to have God's word on our hearts. Say to wisdom, thou art my sister, to understanding, my kinswoman, verse 4, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from a stranger which flattereth with her words. These prostitutes and harlots and even young women who are fallen women and even some Christian girls that try to get boys into trouble and vice versa, boys getting girls into trouble with fornication and sin. Notice verse 6. At the window of my house I saw, I beheld a simple one, one of the youths, young man, verse 7, void of understanding. Passing through the street, he went by the way to her house. It was in the twilight, in verse 9, in the evening, a black and dark night. This is when the sin most often is committed, the sin of fornication and adultery, at night, and most sins, according to Job 24:15. That's when the murder, and that's when robbery takes place. And behold, there met him a woman, verse 10, with a hire, an attire of an harlot, subtle of heart, loud, stubborn, her feet aren't in her house half the time, verse 11. She's without. Then she's on every corner, lying in wait, in verse 12. She caught him, verse 13. She kissed him. She said, I have peace offerings. I paid my vows, verse 14. I'm religious. I'm all paid up to the church, you know. She's giving them a big, pious, religious line. Therefore came I to meet thee. See, just one, and you're my one and only. What a lie, verse 15. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, fine linen. In verse 16, I perfumed my bed. And let's fill our love, she should say lust, in verse 18, until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. She means lusts. That's all it is in this terrible condition. Only in marriage is the marriage bed undefiled, as it says in the book of Hebrews. For she says the good man is not at home in verse 19. He's gone on a long journey. He'll come back at a certain day in verse 20. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him in verse 21. He goeth after her straightway, verse 22 says, as an ox to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks. What a foolish man who does not keep God's word and keep himself pure. Or a foolish woman, keep not herself pure, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. As that bird gets trapped, so this man is trapped, in verse 23. Hearken to the words of my mouth. Verse 25, let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down, verse 26 says, many wounded. Yes, many strong men have been slain by her. Even strong Christian men, even pastors, have been slain by the sin of adultery and of fornication and of sexual impurity and sexual sin. Her house is the way to hell. And we've got to stay away from this, my friends, every one of us who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Proverbs chapter 8, in praise of wisdom, verse 1, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She crieth at the gates, verse 3. See, people don't want to be wise. It's a sad thing. We want to be fools. O sons of men, verse 4. Verse 5, ye simple, understand wisdom. Ye fools, be an understanding at heart. That's what we want, our ignorance. It's a sad thing. Human beings are this way, though. Verse 6, here I will speak. Here's wisdom personified in this chapter 8 of Proverbs. For wickedness is an abomination to my lips, says wisdom. My words are in righteousness. And receive my instruction in verse 10. Not silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. Here is wisdom telling us that silver and gold are inferior to instruction and knowledge. For wisdom, verse 11, is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, in verse 12. Verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. We've got to do some hating. Did you know that? Hating of evil, hating of pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth. Then verse 14, counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, in verse 15. Princes rule, verse 16. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Verse 17, we've got to plumb the depths of the Word of God early. Young men and young women, us boys and girls, read the Word of God and know the wisdom of God. Riches and honor are with me. Durable riches and righteousness, verse 18. The durable riches of wisdom. My fruit is better than gold, verse 19, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. Most people would rather have money than wisdom. But God wants us to have wisdom. I lead in the way of righteousness. And I may cause those that love me, says wisdom, to inherit substance and I will fill their treasures. You start with wisdom, and funds and possessions will come later. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way. This is, verse 22 speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure, as wisdom from the very beginning, when there were no depths, at the creation, before the mountains were settled, in verse 25. When He prepared the heavens, verse 27. When He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment, so that sea wouldn't overflow and go back onto the land. Rejoicing in the habitable part of this earth. In verse 31, my delights were with the sons of men. This is where the Lord Jesus was at the creation itself. Hear instruction now in verse 33. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. We should always be learning more and having more wisdom from God's holy word. Whoso findeth me, verse 35 says, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me, against wisdom, against the word of God, against the Lord Jesus Christ, the personification of wisdom, wrongeth his own soul. They that hate me love death. A terrible calamity for those who would not want the wisdom of Almighty God and His word. And we will put our puny, mental, human wisdom above the wisdom of God as found in His word. That's a sin. A sin of believers as well as unbelievers. Now, Proverbs chapter 9. Continued praise of wisdom. Verse 1, the wisdom is personified again in this chapter 9. Wisdom hath builded her house, and hewn her seven pillars, killed her beasts, in verse 2, sent forth her maidens, in verse 3. Now notice verse 4, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither, that is to wisdom's house, so that he may learn. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, verse 5, come, eat of my bread. Drink of the wine which I have mingled. This is what the foolish need, is to hear from wisdom and to learn from the word of God. Forsake the foolish and live, verse 6. Go in the way of understanding. Then verse 7, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. The scorners don't like reproof. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Wicked people do not like to be reproved, as we may know and we may learn. But reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee, verse 8. Rebuke a wise man, however, and he will love thee. If we're wise and want to know the will of God for our lives, when we're out of line, when we're wrong, we should welcome a reproof and a correction from the word of God and the things of a Christian believer who loves the Lord, who knows what's right and what's wrong, and rebukes us. Verse 9, give instruction to a wise man, he'll be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. We've got to absorb instruction and wisdom and learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Verse 10. Trusting Christ as our Savior, accepting Him, going to the foot of the old rugged cross, accepting the Lord Jesus as our Savior and Redeemer. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's the fear of the Lord, the reverential trust by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Verse 11, for by me thy days shall be multiplied, thy years of thy life shall be increased. By following wisdom, our lifetime, our life expectancy will be increased, and we will not be foolish and ruin our lives. If thou be wise for thyself. Then verse 13, a foolish woman. Here back to the prostitute again. Back to the foolish, adulteress, and a prostitute, streetwalker. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple. And she sits at the door of her house, in verse 14, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in thither. Not one who's wise. Him that wanteth understanding. And she says to him, stolen waters are sweet. Steal a few waters, they're sweet. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. This is a lie of the devil. But this is what the harlots and the prostitutes say. And the wicked women, even some Christian young women, who would try to trap young men, and vice versa. Verse 18, he knoweth not that the dead are there in her house. And they are guests, that our guests are in the depths of hell. And we've got to be fleeing from this immorality and impurity of our lives. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 197 for July 16th, Proverbs 10:4 through 12:25. And now Proverbs chapter 10. In Proverbs 10, we see that this is the folly of wickedness and the wisdom of righteousness. We can't take every verse, but just a few things from some of the verses. Verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. When wisdom is in our children, how it delights our hearts. Verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. If we have the righteousness of God through faith in Christ, we will be delivered from eternal death and have eternal life by faith in Christ. Tremendous thing that gift is. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish in verse 3. Verse 4, he that dealeth with a slack hand becometh poor, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. And he that gathereth in summer, verse 5, is a wise son. But if you sleep in the harvest, you'll cause shame. The harvest time is not a time for sleeping, but work and diligence. Blessings are upon the head of the just, in verse 6. The memory of the just is blessed, verse 7. We think of the just people that are wonderful saints of God, and it's a blessed memory. But the name of the wicked shall rot. He that walketh uprightly, verse 9, walketh surely. We have a sure walk if we walk in the line of God's word. Verse 11, the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. We like to hear righteous people speak. Verse 12, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. This love verse is repeated in 1 Corinthians 13:7. Love covereth sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, verse 13, wisdom is found. And then verse 15, a rich man's wealth is his strong city. He counts upon that wealth, but that wealth can go in a day. And that's why many committed suicide in the Great Depression of the 1930s, because their wealth was gone. Their strong city was gone. Verse 17, he that refuseth reproof, erreth. We've got to listen to reproofs from the Word of God and from those who know the Word of God. Verse 18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips. And there are a lot of people like that. And he that uttereth a slander, a false statement against someone that is false, is a fool. Verse 19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. We've got to watch our words and weigh our words. He that refraineth his lips is wise. Verse 22 is a verse we've always liked. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it. The riches of the Lord by his blessings in his word for all eternity. And then finally, verse 31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. And we ought to thank the Lord for wisdom. And as we're just, as we follow the word of God, we can speak, and wisdom can come from our mouths. Now, Proverbs 11, the contrast of righteousness and wickedness continued. Verse 1 says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. God wants justice in his weights and measures. And we've got to be fair when we sell things to people. We have a Bureau of Standards in Washington, D.C., and this is one of the purposes of it, to keep a false balance from getting into the customer's line of purchase and for getting weights just and righteous. Verse 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Verse 4, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. This is a quotation from Proverbs 10:2. Similar words in that verse as well. No, riches won't save you from wrath, won't save you from hell, but righteousness. If we have the righteousness of Christ by faith in him, we'll be saved for all eternity. Verse 7, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation, his hope shall perish, and the hope of the unjust man perisheth. There's no more hope for them. Once they're dead, they've got to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ right now during this life in order for them to be saved and safe in the arms of Jesus. Verse 9, an hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. The wicked, when the city rejoiceth, the righteous are going well, it's going well with them, the city rejoiceth, but when the wicked perish, there is shouting in verse 10. Verse 13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Secret things, of course, should not be told outward. There should be family secrets and things that we do in a family, for example, that the world should not know of. And we, who are faithful spirits, conceal these matters. Where there's no counsel, the people fall, verse 14. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Then verse 15 warns, he that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. Don't sign a note for someone you don't know to pay $1 million or $1,000 or $500 even. Just don't go surety for someone you do not know. Then verse 21, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. Whether the wicked have friends They say, oh, I've got a lot of friends. I'm going to hell. A lot of friends will be there. Their hands are joined with hands, but in hell they will not know each other. It'll be outer darkness. And they will be punished, and they will not go unpunished at all. Verse 12, as a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. They don't go. A swine doesn't need a jewel, and fair women should not be without discretion. They should have brains as well, and wisdom as well as beauty. Then verse 24, there is that that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is he that withholdeth more than his meat, and attendeth to poverty. The liberal soul, verse 25, shall be made fat. He that watereth shall be watered himself. And if we give to the Lord, he will give back to us. And we must be a liberal, or not in the sense of modernist, but we should have a free giving spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ of all of our substance, of all of our time, and of all of our heart. And he will give back to us. Verse 28, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. Then verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We must win souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we will be wise. That's true wisdom. And the fruit of righteous, of the righteous, is a tree of life. Now Proverbs chapter 12, the contrast of wickedness and righteousness continued. Verse 1 begins, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. What a wonderful thing to have a wife who is a virtuous woman as a crown to her husband, something that makes him to be looked up to and to be desired and not to be cursed and to be hated in any way. Then in verse 10, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. By comparison, they're cruel, even the tenderest of the mercies of the wicked. But a righteous man takes care of his beast, and whether it's a dog or a cat or his horse or whatever it is, he takes care of it. Verse 11, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. When you work in the land, you will get the fruit of that work, which is bread and food and fruit in your garden, as it were. The way of a fool, verse 15, is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Notice verse 16. A fool's wrath is presently known. Yes, everybody knows a fool. Immediately he gets angry and flies off the handle. He that speaketh truth, verse 17, showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. We've got to be honest and truthful in what we say. A lying tongue is but for a moment. The lip of truth in verse 19 shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. And truth, crushed to earth, shall rise again, as some poet has written. And we have the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ, the title for the truth, that which corresponds with reality. Verse 21, there shall no evil happen to the just. God takes care of the just. Even though calamities come, it's not evil, and we thank the Lord for that. Verse 22, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. The hand of the diligent, verse 24, shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. The one that's diligent and working, he's going to be the one in charge of things. Verse 25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Then the righteous man is more excellent than his neighbor. The slothful man, verse 27, roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. In the way of righteousness is life. Yes, the man who is lazy will not roast what he got in hunting, whether it's a bear, or if he eats bear, or if it's a deer, what? But the others will do so. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 198. For July the 17th, Proverbs 12:26 through 15:22. Now, Proverbs chapter 13, the contrast of righteousness and wickedness continued. Verse 1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. We've got to listen to a father's instruction, especially as it's based upon the word of God. Verse 3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. If we know how to control our tongue, we can keep our entire life, our entire body. Verse 5, a righteous man hateth lying. This we've got to do is hate that which is false. Verse 7, There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. It reminds me of 2 Corinthians 8:9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might become rich, and might be made rich. This is a wonderful thing. The riches of Christ we can have because he was poor in a sense that he came to Calvary's cross and died for our sins, yours and mine, and the sins of the world. The ransom of a man's life are his riches in verse 8. Verse 10, only by pride cometh contention. There's no way the contention starts except by pride, the pride of our hearts, and then we can fight about something. Notice in verse 11, he that gathereth by labor shall increase. When we work hard for something, we're going to increase, and it's going to be blessed of the Lord. Good understanding giveth favor, verse 15, but the way of transgressors is hard. It says in verse 18, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. We've got to receive instruction, and we've got to listen to the word of God as God would try to teach us that which is wise and understanding. It is abomination to fools to depart from evil, verse 19 says, but to the believer, we've got to depart and hate evil, depart from and hate evil. Verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. We ought not to go with a fool, but go with wise men. Then, verse 22, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Yes, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Now, if that not be a whole lot of money, it may be money, but it also may be the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is so precious, more precious than gold and silver, though, because they perish. But faith will never perish. But he should leave an inheritance, and he should be an example to his children and his children's children as well. Verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, chastens him early. Yes, we believe in biblical discipline with the rod spanking our young children in order to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, if we love them. And we certainly want to love our children. Very important discipline in the home. Now, Proverbs chapter 14, the contrast of goodness and evil continued. In verse 1, we read that every woman, wise woman, buildeth her house, but the foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. Wise women will build their house. They'll build it up, and they'll strengthen it, and they'll make it a place where peace reigns and where the inhabitants love to be. Verse 5, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. We ought to be faithful again in telling the truth. Verse 7, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. We ought not to be around foolish people that are pouring out foolishness with their mouth. Verse 9, fools make a mock at sin. They make fun of it. And we've heard this many times in this wicked world in which we live. They think it's fun to sin, and they don't think anything about it. Then verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Very important verse. People think they're on the right path, but they're on the exact wrong path. Verse 13, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. The heart of the wicked that doesn't know the Lord Jesus, even when they laugh, they're in sorrow. And the end of that mirth is heaviness. Then verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And this is, of course, we ought to have straight hearts and pure hearts, not backsliding hearts that turn back from the will of God and the word of God. Then verse 16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Verse 17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. We've got to hold our temper and keep our temper. And verse 20 says, the rich hath many friends. But what kind of friends are they? Just that they're money-type friends. They're not real friends, not genuine friends. Verse 23, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury or poverty. Yes, we've got to do more than talk. We've got to work and labor if we want to have anything less than poverty or penury. The fear of the Lord, verse 27, is the fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Then verse 29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalt a father. We've got to be slow to wrath and quick, certainly, to praise the Lord and to thank the Lord, but slow to speak and slow to wrath. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, verse 30, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Then, verse 33, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Wisdom is in the heart of those who understand the things of God. Then, verse 34, we've used this many times, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. Righteousness will exalt a nation. And when our nation goes down in righteousness and the unrighteous bear rule and the filthy perverts and homosexuals take charge of our nation and others who are in charge and are wicked and mean and ugly and criminal, this is a sad thing for any nation when this is the case. Now Proverbs chapter 15, the contrast of goodness and evil continued. Verse 1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. That's true. When you have a soft answer, even the one that has chastised you with his tongue or her tongue, it really does turn away wrath, and it stops the argument when the soft reply many times comes. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, verse 2 says, but the mouth of foolishness poureth out, the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Then verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. There's no way to get away from God. He sees all we do. He hears all we say. My Lord is watching and writing all the time, as that spiritual says. And a wholesome tongue, verse 4, is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Our tongues have got to be wholesome and honest and truthful. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. Verse 5, a sad thing indeed when the father that instructs right is not listened to by his son. The sacrifice of the wicked, verse 8, is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Then the way, even the way of the wicked, in verse 9, is an abomination unto the Lord, but he that loveth him followeth after righteousness. He that loveth the Lord follows righteousness. And then a scorner, verse 12, loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. No, the scorner doesn't want any reproof. She thinks he knows it all. That's a sad state indeed when we get to the place when we know everything and we cannot take reproof from a wise person, whoever, whether it's a man or a woman, young or old alike. Then verse 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. What's in our hearts, if we're happy in the Lord Jesus Christ, our countenance, our faces, our whole beings will light up and be cheerful. Wonderful promise there. In verse 14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Understanding people want more knowledge of the Word of God, the will of God, and all of God's handiwork and all of his creation. This is part of this thirst that he puts within our hearts. He that is of a merry heart, verse 15, hath a continual feast. A merry heart again not only makes a cheerful countenance, but it's like a continual feast. And then verse 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure. We have many treasures, but if trouble is with those treasures, we ought to praise the Lord for just a little bit, but with the fear and trust of the Lord and blessings of the Lord. Look at verse 17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. And rather than a big banquet with an ox or a cow or a beef or whatever, better have just a little dinner with love and respect one for another. Verse 18, he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Then verse 21, folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. I don't know how folly can be joy, but it certainly is to the fool. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 199 for July the 18th, Proverbs 15:23 through 18:13. Continuing in Proverbs 15 and verse 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? A special word in just the right time. A good word indeed, if it's a fine word in due season. Words can help. Words can lift. Verse 26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. God does not like the thoughts of the wicked and all the filthy things that they think
in their minds, and he can read their minds as the omniscient creator that he is. In verse 27, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. We ought not to be greedy of gain, and the greed, the love of money, is the root of all evil. Then verse 28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. And so we see evil men with evil minds and evil mouths speaking readily. The Lord is far from the wicked, verse 29, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart. And this is certainly true in beautiful light arrangements in the light of a new day, how it rejoices our heart as we see it. Then verse 31, the ear that heareth reproof abideth among the wise. And he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, verse 32, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Over and over again, we're told to hear and to understand and to heed reproof from the word of God. Then verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. There can be no honor unless we have a humble spirit before the Lord. And now, Proverbs chapter 16, the contrast of goodness and evil, continued. Verse 2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. We're not to judge our own ways and say, oh, look how clean I am living, look how wonderful I am. The Lord is the one that judges and weighs the spirits. Verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Our works and our thoughts link together by committing them to the Lord. Then verse 4, the Lord made all things for himself, the Creator God, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Yes, he superintends even the judgment, and he's just in his judgments. Verse 5, everyone that is proud of heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. God does not like the proud of heart. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. We have to depart from evil. It's a filthy, wicked thing, and our hearts, if we fear the Lord and love the Lord, will cause us to depart from evil. Then verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. The enemies don't have to agree with you, but when your ways please the Lord, at least they respect you and they give you peace and quiet. Verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Certainly this is true, although few people believe this. A man's heart deviseth his way, verse 9, but the Lord directeth his steps. Verse 11, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. God wants us righteous. He wants us with standards. He wants us not cheating anyone. The Bureau of Weights and Measures, as it were, in Washington, D.C., a just weight and balance. God's concerned with little things, and he wants righteousness and standards like this. Then verse 16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? A wisdom in the things of the Lord, understanding of the Word of God, better than gold or silver. How many people believe that today? It's a few in number indeed, a few number indeed that do that and believe that. I believe that this is God's Word and God's truth, and we ought to understand it more than gold and silver. That won't buy understanding and wisdom in the ways of God. Study your Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God, 2 Timothy 2:15. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 17, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Here it is again. We've got to depart from evil. Keep away from it. Verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Yes, before honor is humility, chapter 15, verse 33 told us, and pride precedes destruction. We've got to have a humble spirit. Verse 19, better is it to be an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. We've got to watch our pride and be humble before the Lord. He that handleth the matter wisely, verse 20, shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Verse 24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. Words can be pleasant. They can bring health to us. And that's why it's important in comfort that we give pleasant words to our folk and our friends that need comfort. Verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This is repeated from Proverbs 14:12, the same verse. Exactly. He that laboreth for himself, And verse 27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil. A whisperer, verse 28, soweth strife, a forward man, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Now notice verse 31, the hoary head, the white head, the gray head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. Many hoary heads or gray heads or white haired men and women are not in the way of righteousness. It's not a glory then. Verse 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. God wants us to rule in our own spirits, in our tempers, and be slow to anger, and we're better than the mighty, or he that takes a city with a big military campaign. Now, Proverbs chapter 17, also the contrast of goodness and evil continued. Verse 1 says, better is a dry morsel and quietness than a house full of sacrifices with strife. A wise servant, verse 2, shall have rule over a son that causes shame. Verse 3, the Lord trieth the hearts, and he does. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, verse 5. Verse 6, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Verse 7, excellent speech becometh not a fool, nor or lying lips do not become a prince. He that covereth the transgression, verse, seeketh love. He that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Verse 10 says, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 fools. Just have to speak a word to a wise man. Verse 12, let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his flock. The beginning of strife, verse 14, is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Once you let out water, it's hard to stop it. Once you pull the plug, it'll just keep going. Verse 15, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, they're both abomination before the Lord. Notice verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Do you have this kind of friend? I hope you have these kinds of friends. It's a wonderful thing to have a friend that loveth at all times, even when we're out of sorts, and even when we are doing that which is not pleasing to them. He loveth transgression, the love of strife, in verse 19. Verse 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A wicked man, verse 23, taketh a gift out of his bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. Their bribes are very sad indeed. Then verse 27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. We don't waste words if we have knowledge. Just be quiet and listen. Verse 28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So that's a good thing, to learn to be silent, even though we don't know too much. Now, Proverbs chapter 18, the contrast of goodness and evil again. Continue. Verse 2 says, a fool hath no desire for understanding and no delight in it. When the wicked cometh, verse 3, then cometh also contempt. In verse 5, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. We've got to be honorable with the righteous person in judgment. A fool's lips entereth into contention in verse 6. Verse 8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Then verse 9, he also is slothful in his work, is brother to him that is great waster. Verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous runneth into it and is safe. God's name is a strong tower. We praise the Lord for that. Before destruction, verse 12 says, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. 15:33 of Proverbs says that same thing. Then verse 13, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. We've got to answer after we hear and weigh the facts and know what actually goes on before we answer. So we're not foolish in answering before we hear a matter. Weigh it carefully. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 200 for July the 19th, Proverbs 18:14 through 21:15. And now Proverbs chapter 18, continuing in verse 14. And verse 15 said, the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge, and this is true. If we're wise, our ears want more knowledge. Verse 16, a man's gift maketh room for him, whatever that gift may be from the Lord. In other words, God will see that that gift is used and usable for his service. Verse 19, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Once we offend our brothers and sisters in Christ, and any person, it's hard to take them back. The contentions, like the bars of a castle. They will not be reconciled so many times. So we've got to be very careful with what we say and what we do. Death and life, verse 21, are in the power of the tongue. Verse 22, that's 21. Verse 22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Yes, our wives are from God. If they're godly women, and certainly we want our wives to be godly, and God's choice that we may obtain favor of the Lord. And then verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. How many times we've used this to our own family, our boys and our girl as they have grown up. And this certainly is true. If we have friends, we've got to be friendly. And then there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This friend is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is closer than any brother, any person on this earth, if we trust him and love him and serve him and walk before him. Now Proverbs chapter 19, the contrast of goodness and evil continued again. Verse 4 says, wealth maketh many friends. We saw earlier that there are friends, a friend loveth at all times in chapter 17, verse 17, and a brother is born for adversity. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. But here, wealth maketh many friends. What kind of friends are they? As soon as the wealth stops and the gift stops, the friendship stops. Verse 5, a false witness shall not be unpunished, but he that speaketh lies shall not escape. And then verse 6, many will entreat his favor, the favor of a prince. Every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Here again, wealth maketh many friends. But what sort of a friend is that? And we have some fine feathered friends. Sometimes people use us to climb higher, and they use different so-called friends in order to advance themselves in prestige, whether in the church or whether in society generally. A strange phenomenon indeed. Verse 10, delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. Servants should not rule, but yet Solomon's servant, Jeroboam, ruled over 10 tribes of Israel because of Rehoboam's sin, the son of Solomon, Rehoboam's sin. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger in verse 11. And then notice verse 14, verse 13, the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. But these contentions should be stopped, and they should not continue, so that there's no dropping. But verse 14, the very next verse, a prudent wife is from the Lord. Wise and prudent wife. As it says in chapter 18, verse 22, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And then a prudent wife, a wise wife, is from the Lord. We praise the Lord for our wives and their wisdom and help in many things that we discuss together. Verse 15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. He that had pity upon the poor, in verse 17, lendeth unto the Lord. And now chapter 19, verse 18, chasten thy son. Here is another verse on discipline. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Many times our children cry when they know they're going to be hit or spanked for their wickedness. Don't spare for his crying. Make sure that judgment is meted out and righteousness and punishment in a proper way. Only when they need it, but always when they need it, and exactly the right amount, with justice in mind, and because we love them. That's why we spank them when they need it. Verse 21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Wonderful thing to have the counsel of the Lord, indeed. And then notice verse 19, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. That wrath, that temper will get him into trouble sooner or later. And then verse 23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it, that is the fear of the Lord and loves the Lord, shall abide satisfied. What a wonderful thing to be satisfied because we have the fear and trust and faith in the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Verse 25, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. So many times in teaching school, the public school systems of Philadelphia, we take care of this. We take care of the scorner, and then the simple looks, and that's an object lesson to them, and then they shape up a little bit better. And then he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother, verse 26, is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Notice verse 27, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. I believe sex education in the public schools is an example of this. We have to cease to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge and the word of God. That's why we ought not to permit our young people to be engaged in any of these sex education classes, because there's no morality taught with them, and great sin and great experimentation can go on and does go on many times around the nation in these classes and after these classes and because of these classes. Now, Proverbs chapter 20, warnings and instructions. Verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink, raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. We ought to totally abstain from wine and strong drink because of the terrible deception and the habit-forming nature of both of these drugs. Alcohol is a drug, a habit-forming drug, and we ought to separate from it, just like with nicotine and many other drugs that we ought to stay away from, and pills and dope of all different kinds. It is honor for a man to cease from strife. Verse 3. Verse 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Told too lazy to work, and therefore he won't have any food. There'll be nothing planted. The crops will not come up. In verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Now, no, we don't have any goodness. We're sinners. But a faithful man who can find. We ought to be faithful. God found Abraham faithful and Noah faithful and Enoch faithful who walked with God. Verse 9, who can say I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. The only thing that can keep us pure from sin is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who loved us and gave himself for us. Romans 3:23 says the wages of sin is death. All have sinned, rather, and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He can make us pure from sin by faith in Christ, and that alone. Verse 10, divers weights and divers measures both are abomination to the Lord. God doesn't want us to have different weights so we can cheat people. That's what he's saying. Verse 11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Yes, little children can teach us many things about doing what's right. The hearing ear, verse 12, and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made them both. Then verse 13, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Sleep, if we love it too much, will make us to be lazy, and we can't get much accomplished. Then verse 14, it is not, saith the buyer. Oh, this is nothing. I don't really like this. But when he goeth away, he boasteth. Oh, look what a good buy I got. That's what that means in verse 14. Verse 15, the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Precious jewel indeed. With good advice, make war, verse 18. Don't make war unless you have good advice, and make sure you're right, and then go ahead. Verse 19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Verse 20, whoso curseth his mother and father, his lamp shall be put out. Verse 22, say not that I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Let the Lord take care of evil which is around thee. And divers weights are an abomination of the Lord. Again, we don't want a false balance. It's not good. And the same as in verse 10 above. God wants us to be just and righteous. Verse 27, the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Verse 29, the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. And many of us have gray heads even today. Now, Proverbs chapter 21, warnings and instructions continue. Verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. God controls the rulers even of our day. Verse 2, every man, the way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. This is important. The thoughts of the diligent tend to plenteousness in verse 5. It's better to dwell, verse 9 says, in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. We want to minimize family arguments, certainly. When a scorner is punished, verse 11, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. These things are true, and we ought to think of these things as we go about our daily tasks for the Lord. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 201 for July the 20th, Proverbs 21:16 through 24:5. Continuing in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 16, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. God says he's just as if he's dead if he wanders away from God's understanding of his word. Verse 17, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, pleasures cost. The most expensive things in this life are the lusts of the flesh, the lust of alcohol, the lust of dope, the lust of heroin, the lust of tobacco and smoking and drinking and all these carousing things and prostitution. These cost money, and the poverty shall be upon a man or a woman who loves pleasure. Gambling, look at these things, they cost money, they're always high priced. And then verse 19, it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Certainly we want our women to be peaceful, and our wives, and certainly that's the peaceful way to dwell. Then in verse 21, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. God wants us to follow righteousness according to his word. Notice verse 23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Our mouth gets us into trouble more than not, and more often than many times that we think. And so we've got to keep our mouth and our tongue and guard them. Notice verse 25, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. The slothful person is lazy, and he doesn't want to work, and that's the trouble with him. Verse 26, he coveteth greedily all the day long. He wants things, but he does not want to work for them. And then in verse 27, the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. The wicked man cannot work for his salvation. He cannot sacrifice for it. He must accept the sacrifice of God through the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And how much more is it an abomination when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? Verse 27. Then a false witness shall perish. In verse 28, we've got to speak the truth. Verse 30, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The Lord's counsel will stand. His wisdom, his understanding in his word will always stand true above all others. Then verse 31, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. We've got to trust not only our horses and our armaments, but the Lord for safety. Now Proverbs chapter 22, warnings and instructions continued. In verse 1 we see a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. God wants us to keep our names good and not besmirched with sin and scandal. Then verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. God expects us to train our children up in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, the things of God's word, the things of eternity, so that when they're old, they will stay on that road and that path. That's a promise of God. And then verse 10, cast out the scorner, and contention will go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. How often I use that in my high school, junior high school teaching in Jones Junior High School in Philadelphia. Cast out the scorner, the one that's the bad one, the one that's the loud one, the one that's the sassy one. Get him out of the room, send him to the disciplinarian, send him to the vice principal, and contention shall go out. The others will learn. Strife and reproach shall cease. That's what we have to do. Separate the ones that are bad, and then the ones that are good will remain good and behave themselves well. At least that's how it's supposed to work. The mouth of a strange woman, verse 14, is a deep pit. And certainly it's terrible to fall into that deep pit of a filthy, prostitute, strange woman. Then in verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Foolishness must be beaten out or spanked out, or the rod of correction must be used in order to take that foolishness out of the heart of a child. And we've got to do it in love, but discipline is so much involved in Proverbs. This whole book, as we saw in Proverbs 19:18, as we'll see in Proverbs 23:13 as well. And then verse 17, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. God wants us to open our ears and bow down and listen to his word, to his knowledge. And it's a pleasant thing in verse 18, that thy trust, verse 19, may be in the Lord. Notice verse 20, have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? God's given us a written word, a written Bible. And what is the reason for his writing down these counsels and knowledge? Verse 30, 21, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. God wants us to be certain of His Word. That's why we must be certain of the texts underlying our King James Version, that they're God's Word, the best preserved texts of the Masoretic Old Testament traditional text and the traditional received Greek text in the New Testament, and then the King James Version translated upon both these texts, the certainty of the words of truth. We've got to have some certainty in the Word of God. Then verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Verse 25, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. If you see an angry man or a furious man, just stay away. No friendships, because that will not be good and not be wise, and it will harm your testimony. And then verse 26, don't be one of those that is surety for debts. Don't co-sign any notes, for if thou hast nothing to pay, verse 27, why should he take away thy bread from under thee? And this is what they'll do for collateral. They take away what you have, your property. Don't sign notes for anyone. Let them sign their own notes. And that's what it means in verse 27. Verse 28, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. I believe one of the landmarks is the King James Version of our Bible, the Authorized Version, that is a solid, dependable, and a great old friend that every Bible-believing, Bible-loving Christian should hang on to and not give up for these other modern speech translations that remove the underlying Masoretic Hebrew text in the Old Testament and the underlying received traditional Greek text in the New Testament and have some other base indeed. And then verse 29, see thou a man diligent in his business, able to work and hardworking, he shall stand before kings. But we will one day stand before the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus. We must be diligent as well. And now, Proverbs chapter 23, warnings and instructions continued. In verse 1, it speaks of rulers. It says, be not desirous of his dainties, in verse 3. Verse 4, labor not to be rich. Wilt thou set thine eyes, verse 5, upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Yes, riches do fly away. You can't take them with you either. And so we ought not to labor and exercise ourselves to be rich as the main goal of our life, but to please the Lord. Verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And verse 9, speak not in the ears of a fool, when he shall despise the wisdom of thy words. It doesn't help. Remove not the old landmark again, verse 10. Verse 11, for their Redeemer is mighty. Don't steal the lands of the fatherless. Apply thine heart, verse 12, unto instruction, thine ears to knowledge. Notice verse 13 on correcting children. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Verse 14, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Spanking of children is biblical, and it will help to straighten them out when they need it and only when they need it. And then, verse 17, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou always in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Don't envy the sinners. God does not want us to do that. Then verse 20, be not among winebibbers and among riotous eaters of flesh. We ought not to be with those that are drunken. And hearken to thy father, verse 22, and to thy mother. Don't despise her when she is old. Verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. We ought to love truth and buy it up and always look for it. The father of the righteous, verse 24, shall greatly rejoice. Verse 26, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. God wants our heart. Verse 27, for a whore is a deep ditch, a strange woman, a narrow pit. We should not fall into this terrible whoredom and fornication of strange women, filthy harlots. She lieth in wait, verse 28. For prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men, in verse 28. And then there's a section on drinking and wine and drunkenness, verse 29. Who hath sorrow and contentions, babbling, wars without cause, redness of eyes, that ever tarry long at the wine and seek mixed wine. Alcoholic, fermented wine is spoken of here. And look not on the wine when it is red and so on. It biteth like an adder. Thine eyes behold strange women, in verse 33. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. Thou shalt be like one that lies down in the midst of the sea on the top of a mast, and will weave back and forth and say, they have stricken me, I was not sick, and they beat me, and I felt it not. But when I awake, I will seek it yet again. The drunkard goes back to his booze. A terrible thing indeed. The yearly Bible reading comment for day number 202 for July 21st, Proverbs 24:6 through 26:28. And now, Proverbs chapter 24, warning and instructions continued. Verse 1, be not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. We should not want to be with evil men, because their heart studies to destruction, their lips talk of mischief in verse 2. We ought to separate ourselves from evil people and evil men, and should not seek their fellowship. And then verse 6, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. The Word of God, all the different books, Old and New Testament, should be our counselors in this life. Wisdom is too high for a fool in verse 7. The thought of foolishness, verse 9, is sin, just even the thought. Notice verse 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Notice now what we should do with captive nations, communist nations that are under bondage. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain. Verse 12, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? Those that are ready for death, we've got to be concerned of the captive nations, the communist nations all over this world. I believe this is applicable in this case. Verse 17, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. We ought not to be thankful with our enemy. We ought to love our enemies, even as the Lord Jesus taught us, and be careful, because the Lord could see it, and it could displease him in verse 18. He turned away his wrath from him who is our enemy and in the wrong camp. So don't rejoice in this. Then the candle of the wicked, verse 20, shall be put out. Verse 21, meddle not with them that are given to change. Those that are continually changing one place and another and changing their minds and changing their positions. Just don't meddle with them. Stay away from them. Be separate with them. Then verse 23, it's not good to have respect of persons in judgment. Verse 24, he that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. Yet this is exactly what the communist governments do all over the world today. They say to the wicked man, thou art righteous. Notice verse 25, but to him that rebuke him, that is, rebuke the one that's wicked, shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. God wants us to rebuke wicked, evil men by the counsels of the Word of God, and stand by His Word indeed. Then verse 29, say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. That's the opposite of the golden rule. Do as thou wouldst have others to do unto you. Do unto others as thou wouldst have them, as you would have them do unto you. Not do unto him as he has done to me. I will run to the man according to his work. That's not the proper philosophy in verse 29. Then verse 30, I went into the field of a slothful man, and the vineyard of one void of understanding. In verse 31, it had thorns and nettles, and the stone wall was broken down. And I considered and I took instruction. Verse 33, what was his trouble? Oh, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding the hands to sleep. He was lazy. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. We ought not to be lazy, but diligent. Now Proverbs chapter 25, warnings and instructions continued. Verse 1 says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon that the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. These are special Proverbs, apparently. Verse 4, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. We have to take impurities out of silver before it's a good vessel. And so, in verse 5, take away the wicked men from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. And Dr. LBJ, or President Lyndon Baines Johnson's administration, Bobby Baker, there's a big scandal, various other things. And we had to take away some of the wicked people, and so with wicked men today, take them away so that righteousness can be established. Go not forth hastily, verse 8, to strive or to battle or to fight, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof. We've got to be careful when we're going into fighting and debating, even about Bible subjects. We've got to be sure of our ground. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, verse 9. Discover not a secret to another. Go right to them, like Matthew 18 suggests, one-on-one. If there's something we have against somebody, speak to them if it's a personal offense. Verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. As an earring of gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. The obedient ear, but a wise reprover from the Word of God as to what we should do. Verse 14, whoso boasteth himself of a false gift, if you don't have it, you don't have the goods to deliver, you're like a cloud without wind, a clouds and wind, rather, without rain. No rain. You can't deliver a false gift, indeed. Verse 17, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. We ought not to overstay our visits to any of our neighbors. Whether that visit is one day or 2 days or three, but withdraw thy foot, lest he weary of thee and hate thee. Don't stay too long at his house. Verse 18, the man that beareth false witness is like a maul and a sharp arrow. Verse 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You can't chew down on that broken tooth, and the foot, you can't step on it, because it will let you down. And then if thine enemy be hungry, verse 21, give him bread to eat. Quoted again in Romans 12:20, and the Lord shall reward thee, verse 22. And then verse 24, it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Peace should reign in our homes. A righteous man falls down before the wicked. To have that happen, falling down before a wicked man, is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. It should not be. Then, finally, in verse 28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down, without walls, defenseless. We've got to rule our spirits, and we've got to be in subjection and in control at all times. The Holy Spirit, as one of the fruit of the Spirit, can give us self-control. Now, Proverbs chapter 26, warnings and instructions continued. Verse 11 says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. It's very hard to get a fool to stop being foolish. This is what he's saying. Verse 12, seest there a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. Those who are proud and egotistical think they know it all. Then it talks about the slothful man, verse 13. He sees a lion in the streets. He doesn't even go out and look for it. In verse 14, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so the slothful turneth upon his bed, just one side to another, and just lazy. And the slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, verse 15. He grieveth him even to bring it to his mouth. He's so lazy. Then verse 17, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. You know, you take a dog by the ears, that dog's going to bite you. So if the strife isn't yet yours and it's none of your business, stay out of it. Stay out of it. That's what he's saying there. And then, in verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. You have to keep stoking the coals of gossip and talebearing, of contention or battle or arguments as far as that's concerned. I quote this all the time to my young people, 7th, 8th, and 9th graders at Jones Junior High School in Philadelphia, where I'm presently teaching, as this being recorded. And I tell them, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. And some of them don't understand it, but I tell them anyway, just stop your talking, stop your arguing. That fire will go out. Don't stoke any more coals. Don't give any more vicious words. Verse 21, as coals out of burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Contentious people do kindle strife. And the words of a talebearer as wounds, in verse 22, they go down to the innermost part of the belly. Then burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross, in verse 23. Notice verse 24, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit. A hateful person dissembles and lies and deceives with his lips, whose hatred, verse 26, is covered by deceit. And then notice verse 28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. We've got to realize that when we hate people, we're going to lie about them. And when we lie about people, we hate them. And this is a sad thing indeed. And we cannot flatter people either, because a flattering mouth worketh ruin. These are wonderful proverbs and truths from the Word of God that we should apply to our hearts and to our lives. Now you're in the Bible reading comment for day number 203 for July the 22nd. Proverbs 27, 1 through 30, verse 3. And now, Proverbs chapter 27, warnings and instructions continued. Verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what tomorrow brings. All we have is today. We must live for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his word and for truth and righteousness today. Then verse 2, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. We ought not to boast of ourselves and what we can do and how wonderful we are. Verse 4, wrath is cruel, anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Envy, worse than wrath and anger, envy. Notice verse 5, open rebuke is better than secret love. At least there's some honesty in open rebuke. And then verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Look at Judas. Look how deceitful his kiss was of the Lord Jesus Christ. But even the wounds, if it's from a friend, they're faithful. They try to bring us up and teach us some things. Then verse 7, the full soul loatheth or hateth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. I tell that to my children and grandchildren when they are trying to eat some things that they don't like. They ought to be a little more hungry than they would like it. Then verse 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Hearty counsel from the word of God, from our friends, is so important many times. Thine own friend and thy father's friend, verse 10, forsake not. Then, in verse 14, he that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. It's one thing to bless your friend late in the day, but early in the morning, it's just like a curse because you're waking him up. Then, verse 15, this theme that keeps recurring, a continual dropping in a very rainy day, and a contentious woman are alike. Continuation of contention by women many times is a very serious thing, offense and a very serious thing. And the book of Solomon, book of Proverbs by Solomon, continues to mention this. And I wonder if it's because he has 700 wives, 300 concubines, plus the Pharaoh's daughter, 1,001 women. And he knows about the women. And apparently some of them were just like a continual dropping on a rainy day, and they're contentious. And he knew about it. That's why he got away from them, I guess, into another situation, another area of the palace, perhaps. And then verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We've got to tell each other the truth and keep us ourselves sharp for the things of the Lord. Verse 20, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. How true this is. What we see, we want, and we're never satisfied, no matter how much we have. Even a man who's the most wealthy is never satisfied. The Word of God says so. Then verse 23, be diligent to know the state of thy flocks. Look well to thy herds. God wants the believers in him to take care of their animals and their beasts. And then verse 27, the promise, thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food. Here's the mention of goat's milk, which they did use even in Bible times, for food for the household and for maintenance of thy maidens. Now Proverbs chapter 28, warnings and instructions continued. In verse 1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. God's given righteous people boldness in the Lord. Then verse 3, a poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain. It's bad enough to be poor, but to oppress one another in poverty is terrible indeed. Notice verse 4, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. We ought not to praise the wicked ever, but such as keep the law contend with them. We ought to fight and do battle with the wicked men, whether it be communist men or criminal men or fornicators or adulterers or murderers or criminals. We ought to contend, or modernists, unbelievers, or compromisers. They're evil men that deny the Word of God in all of its fullness. Evil men understand not judgment, verse 5, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Verse 6, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. We ought to follow God's word no matter what. He that keepeth the law is a wise son, verse 6, but he that is companion to riotous men shameth his father. He that turneth away his ear, verse 9, from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. And the one that causes the righteous, verse 10, to go astray in an evil way shall fall into his own pit. Verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We've got not only to confess them, but to forsake them. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins as believers in Christ, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank the Lord for that. Verse 19, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth vain persons shall have poverty enough. We've got to work and labor, and then the Lord will bless us with fruit and with food. Verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Praise the Lord for that, for the blessings that he gives us. Verse 21, to have respect of persons is not good. To prefer one another, that's what it, one above another, is not good. That's what he's saying here. For a piece of bread, that man will transgress. If we have respect for persons, no matter what that person tells us to do, we will do. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, verse 22. He that rebuketh a man, verse 23, afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Rebuke is better than flattery. That's what he's saying. Verse 27, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. God wants us to take care of the poor believers, especially now in this dispensation in which we live, and take care of them like they did the poor saints at Jerusalem. That's why we have a deacon's offering usually after communion service in our fundamental Baptist churches around the country. Now, Proverbs chapter 29, warning and instructions continued. Verse 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. God's warnings over and over and over again. Finally, the person will be destroyed. This is the promise of God. Verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. How true this is. In anything, look at communism and the terrible wicked ruling everywhere where communist countries dominate and where they exist, like communist Cuba, communist Russia, communist China, and so on. We trust that it'll never be communist United States of America. Then, verse 7, the righteous considereth the cause of the poor. We ought to remember that and not forget, but the wicked regardeth not the poor. Notice verse 9, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there's no rest. Wisdom and folly do not go together. There's no rest when they get together and discuss anything. Verse 11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Yes, words are very easy for a fool indeed. Then verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The rod, that's discipline and chastening and spanking. Reproof, that is words. Those are words that help to correct a child. Ephesians 6:4 says, bring a child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's again the rod and discipline and reproof as well. Depends on their age and their responsibility. Notice verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. We've got to correct our young children coming up, sons and daughters as well. He shall give delight unto thy soul. Then verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. We've got to have a vision of a lost world, and we have to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to have a vision of what God wants us to do in his word. We ought to do this. Then verse 20, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. We've got to watch our words, weigh our words, be quiet, be careful, and not to be so fast and quick with our answers. Then verse 22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. We've got to watch our tempers, be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God if we're saved and trusting Christ as our Savior. Then verse 27, a lady in our church in Newton, Massachusetts, always used to quote this verse, Mrs. T, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord should be safe. We've got to fear the Lord and not man. That certainly is true. And verse 27, he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. Those believers that are safe and sound and secure in Christ are hated by wicked men. A sad thing, but indeed it is true. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 204 for July the 23rd, Proverbs 30, verse 4 through Ecclesiastes 2, 6. And now, Proverbs chapter 30, these are the words of Agar, as it says. Look at verse 4, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the winds in his fists? Speaking of the Lord, who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? His son's name, the son of this God who created the universe, the son of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Something that we've got to point out to our Jewish friends that need to know Christ as their Messiah. Verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. God's word is pure from Genesis to Revelation. Verse 6, add not thou to his words. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. This is the serious difficulty of these new modern translations, whether the Living Bible that adds to the Word of God, or whether it's the New International Version that adds to the Word of God all the time, takes away from it, changes it, a paraphrase just like the Living Bible, not quite as bad, but just as simply a paraphrase. We ought not to add to God's pure Word. Stick to our King James Version of the Bible. Two things I require of thee, deny me not, verse 7 says. Verse 8, give me neither poverty nor riches. feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take God's name in vain. We've got to be just right, not poverty nor riches. What a wonderful prayer that God has given here to Solomon. There is a generation that curseth their father, verse 11, and doth not bless their mother, that are pure in their own eyes and not washed from their own filthiness, in verse 12. That's what they think about their own selves. There's a generation whose teeth are as swords, verse 14, their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from the earth and the needy, with wicked mouths, in other words. Now verse 15, the horse leech hath two daughters. There are three things that's never satisfied. Four things that say not it is enough. Verse 16, the grave is never satisfied. The barren womb. The earth that is not filled with water. And the water and the fire that saith not it is enough. That's verse 16. And then the eye that mocketh his father, the raven shall pick it out. We've got to believe the Lord, word of God, and obey our parents in the things of the Lord. And there are two things. Three things too wonderful for me. Four, verse 18 says, here they are. Number one, verse 19, the way of an eagle in the air, the serpent upon a rock, the way of a serpent, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Too wonderful to comprehend. God's mysteries involved in these four things. The adulterous woman in verse 20, she eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. This is the unrepentance of the adulterous women, and I've seen this, and I cannot believe it, that they can wipe their mouth and say, oh, I've done nothing, after adultery has been committed. There are four things that the earth cannot bear. Number one, verse 22 says, a servant when he reigns. Two, a fool what is filled with meat. 23, and verse 23, the third one, an odious or hateful woman when she is married. A terrible thing that is. And a handmaid that is heir to her mistress, just a servant girl. There are four things that are small but wise, verse 24. The first are the ants. There are people that are not strong, but they prepare their meat in the summer. Verse 26, the conies, a feeble folk, but they make their houses in the rocks. They plan. Verse 27, the locusts, they have no king, yet they go forth by bands. They have progress. And verse 28, the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. She produces, she works. Four things that are comely and they're going. The first is a lion, verse 20, the strongest of the beasts. The second thing, a greyhound. The third, an he-goat. And a king against whom there is no rising up. These are four that are wonderful in going. And so these are some very sound words in the book of Proverbs indeed. Now Proverbs chapter 31. The words of King Lemuel. This last chapter of Proverbs, chapter 31, is a very familiar one. Verse 3, give not thy strength to women, nor thy ways to them that destroyeth kings. We ought to beware of adultery and fornication. Verse 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine or princes strong drink. And we're the princes of Christ, if we're a New Testament believer. We ought to stay away completely and totally abstain from wine or strong drink or alcohol in any form, lest they drink and forget the law, verse 5, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink to him that is ready to perish, verse 6. Wine to those that are heavy hearts. The world, that's all they have. Let them drink and forget his poverty, in verse 7. But those who love the Lord have a different standard, and we can rejoice in the Lord regardless of our troubles. Who can find a virtuous woman, verse 10 asks. Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband trusts in her safely, verse 11. She'll do him good and not evil all the days of her life, verse 12. She seeks wool and works willingly with her hands, verse 13, this virtuous woman. She rises while it is yet night, verse 15 says, and gives meat to her household, gets up early for breakfast. And she considers a field and buys it, in verse 16. She has business sense. She lays her hands to the spindle, in verse 19. And to the distaff, she weaves clothing. She takes care of the poor and helps them and the needy. And she's not afraid of the snow because her household, in verse 21, is clothed. And she makes coverings of tapestry. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates. And she makes fine linen. All these things that the virtuous woman does, strength and honor are her clothing, in verse 25. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. And many daughters have done wonderfully. Her husband rises up and praises her. Her children rise up and call her blessed, in verse 28. And notice verse 30, favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, no matter whether she's pretty or ugly, if she fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and her own works. Let them praise her in the gates. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon, chapter 1, the theme, all is vanity. We must remember in the book of Ecclesiastes that this is the reasoning of a natural man, Solomon, who is very wise, yet he's a natural man thinking as natural men think. Verse 1 says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, Solomon he is, David the king of Israel in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, verse 2, all is vanity. That's the theme, emptiness. The emptiness of life. What profit is a man of all of his labor under the sun in verse 3? And then notice the theme is proved by the transitoriness of all things. Verse 4, one generation passes away, another comes. The sun rises and goes down. The winds go in verse 6 and return. The rivers flow into the sea and they're not full. All things are full of labor, verse 8. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. The ear is not filled with hearing. And this is true. We're never satisfied with our senses. Look at verse 9. There's no new thing under the sun. Verse 10, is there anything that can be said here? This is something new. No, things continue. Then verse 12 and following, the theme continued. Evil remains despite power, wisdom, and knowledge. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and Solomon was king. Verse 12. I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men. And I've seen all the works, verse 14, that are done under the sun. Solomon investigated all this thing. Behold, all is vanity, vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, verse 15. That which is wanting cannot be numbered. And then he said, I have gotten more wisdom, verse 16, than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. My heart in great experience of wisdom and knowledge. He prayed for wisdom. God gave him wisdom in order to rule his people aright. And yet he used this wisdom in the wrong way by taking all these women who turned away his heart after he worshipped their gods. I gave my heart to know wisdom, verse 17, to know madness and folly. This is vexation of spirit. In fact, he says in verse 18, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. So Solomon is saying there's sorrow involved in wisdom as well as some things that are all right. And so we'll continue in Ecclesiastes in our comments tomorrow. Yearly Bible reading comment for day number 205 for July the 24th, Ecclesiastes 2:7 through 6:7.